So, as for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
Ah, somebody remembered. Okay. That was from last Sunday. I just wanted to give you a little test there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, here's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about how we recognize. How do we as believers recognize God's calling in our life? Now, I said as believers, so we're not recognizing our call to salvation, we're recognizing what He calls us to do every day of our life. So when we begin to recognize that, then what is the response that we give? How do we answer God? How do we react to those things that God has in store for us in our life? And it should be a response that has a willing desire, that we have a willing desire to follow after whatever it is He has, His purpose is for us in our life. Now, a lot of times we wonder about God's calling in our life. So when God asks you to Lord, is that really you telling me that, or am I really supposed to be doing this? Or so we have this, and what brings this about is worldly fear. Whenever we get ready to do something for the Lord, Satan is going to be there to try to somehow deceive us, take us in a different direction, and he's going to do it by entering worldly fear into your life. Well, if I do this, is so and so, are they going to like it? If I do this, and so all of this starts coming to mind. So we have to learn that as servants of God, and yes, you are a servant. If you're saved, you're a servant. And as servants of God, God has given us many gifts. He's given us many abilities. He's given us many talents. If I would go around and ask each one of you this morning, what is one talent that you know God gave you, would you be able to give me one? Or would you have to think about it for a while? So God's given us all this stuff to, and it's not just for us, but it's to use so that we might further the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to the world. So we sometimes when we look at the things that God gives to us, we look at them as maybe things that are great, maybe things that are small, but it doesn't matter how you see them. Everything that God has done for us in our life, every gift, every talent, every ability that He has given us, He wouldn't have given it to us if it wasn't significant to our life in Him. If it wasn't somehow going to bring glory to God. So when these worldly fears come, and why do worldly fears come? They come, and we're going to say, oh, it's his fault or her fault. Worldly fears come because of a lack of faith and trust on our part. That's why worldly fears begin to overcome us. So if we will allow these things to happen in our life, then this is going to dictate how well we live our life in service unto God. So we've got to learn to put these things away. These things that Satan brings up against us that deceive us into thinking something's going to happen to us, we've got to learn to put these things away, and we've got to learn that we've got to follow after the things that God has given unto us in our life. Now, in 2 Timothy, let me go read this scripture to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Here's what it says. For God hath not given unto us the what? The spirit of fear. Now, when you were born into this world and you inherited that old sinful nature from Adam, you have that spirit of fear, that worldly emotion of fear. But once you accepted the saving grace and you put that away, you took on that new nature of God, God made sure He instilled within you there is no fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. So He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He gave us the spirit of what? His power, His love, and a sound mind. How many of you have a sound mind this morning? Nobody's raising their hand. A sound mind. So why does He say a sound mind? Because that worldly spirit of fear begins where? Right here, in your thoughts. If Satan can control your thoughts, then he's going to bring in that worldly spirit of fear. So one thing that we know for sure is that God does not, say that with me, does not give the believer a spirit of fear. That's taken away from us. So why do we have it then? Well, this morning when we got up, I'll bet you almost every one of us in here had some kind of thought, and it had to do with something of worldly fear that was controlling our life. So why do we have that in our life if God does not initiate that in our life? He has provided us with the power of self-control. Does anybody have self-control? We know none of you have a sound mind. So does anybody have self-control in here? He has provided us with that so that we might be able to do away with that worldly fear that is in our life. But in order to do that, he says we must rely upon the strength of God. It all has to come through the power of what God is for it. In Sunday school class, we talked about who God is. And we learned how many characteristics? Come on, Z, you wake. How many?
Four.
One word. I didn't expect them to remember because they're big words. You guys tell me what they are. I'll give you the first one. One, he is a sovereign God. Two, he's what?
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Three, he's
omniscient.
Four, he's
omnipresent.
There you go. All right. So we have that. We have that working for us in our life. This gives us confidence. This gives us confidence to be able to do those things that God has given us to do in our life. So we have to embrace that. Now, when we begin to embrace that, now we're going to learn a little bit of courage. We're going to learn a life of courage in Jesus Christ when we begin to embrace that, and it is inspired unto us through the love of God. So it gives us the assurance in our life that we, by faith, that we are able to share with others accordingly to our obedience to His Word. So if we have worldly fear in our life, we are not being what? Obedient to the Word of God, because God said, I didn't give it to you. If you got it, you're looking back upon that old nature that you said you got rid of. So in 2 Peter, let me read this and then we'll go on to another scripture. In 2 Peter, here's what he says. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. And I can't find Peter, so. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Oh, I thought she was going to come show me where Peter was. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. It says, Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto them. So he talks about giving diligence so that we make our calling and election sure in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do in the Lord. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And what we want to talk about a little bit is how do we learn to serve God without allowing worldly fear to come into our life? Because every time that you go in service to the Lord, Satan is going to try to put worldly fear in there to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. So in Luke chapter 1, verses 74 and 75. Luke 1, 74. And he says that he would grant unto us. Now this is a promise, okay? We're going to see many different things in here. But he said that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, so we've been delivered out of the sinfulness of the world, away from that old inheritance that we had gained from Adam. We've been delivered out of that so that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. So at some point in our life as a believer, and it may be a point that happens every day, we are going to experience what? we're going to experience worldly fear. That old emotion of worldly fear is going to creep up against us, and we're going to begin to experience that. So we must remember that when you experience these worldly emotions in your life, they are not a sin. Okay? Those thoughts that you have are not sinful. When do they become sinful? Sure, when we start dwelling on them, when we start letting them be a part of our life, then they begin to become sinful in our life. So that's one of the things that he's telling us about. He said he granted unto us, and this promise that he gave us, and he said so that we would serve him without fear, but he said that there is a stipulation to that. Do you know when you accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you accepted a responsibility? So everything that you look at through the Word of God, you're going to find, yes, a promise. You're going to find a commandment. But you're also going to find a stipulation how that is going to work in your life. So he said, in order for this to be the way I want it to be, in order for you to serve me without fear, he said, you have to come before me in holiness and in righteousness. And he says what? All the days of your life. Every day. Not just today because it's Sunday. Not tomorrow because it was just Sunday, so I'm still good. And then Tuesday it's starting to dwindle. And man, do I need to get back in church on Sunday because I done law. That's not how it works. If we serve Him every day, it'll stay the same every day in our life. He wants us to live holy and righteous before Him. So God has granted unto us deliverance. Deliverance from all these worldly emotional things that you got rolling around. Around up there in that empty space between your ears. Y'all with me on that one? Okay. I got one. So God's granted us deliverance from that. And when He said He did that, He granted us deliverance from fear of condemnation and persecution of the world. Now, I'm not talking about people like Chris was talking about what's happening in other countries. Thank God we live in a country that we really don't get that. But you still get persecution from the world when you serve God. Amen? It might not be physical persecution, or it might not be, but somewhere along the line, Satan is going to try to stick something in there that keeps you from serving God the way God wants you to serve Him. So this is what this is talking about. So in 2 Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 24. Here's what he says. And the servant of the Lord, okay, so here, this was a promise. We are servants of God now. So here's your promise, but then here's the stipulation, some of the stipulation that goes with it. The servant of the Lord must not. You got that? Must not strive. Okay? Must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Were you all still with me? Patient, all right, in meekness, and then he says, instructing those that oppose themselves. So this means our salvation, which comes through God. He granted unto us this repentance. It's a free gift. We all chose. We accepted that free gift. When we accepted the free gift, we accepted the responsibility that comes along with it. And he gave it to us so that we might enjoy ourselves, or that our joy in the Lord might be full no matter what comes up against us in the world. So we've accepted this responsibility. Everybody with me on that? We've accepted this. No hands. We've accepted this responsibility. Still no hands. I'm not going to say it the third time. So we've accepted this responsibility, and we've done this because we know that through this, one day, we gain the benefits of all of this, which is eternal life with God. So that means that we should refrain in our life, and we should refrain from three things. What does the Bible tell you are the three things? And I'll give you the first one. The pride of life. What's the next two? The lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. We're to refrain from those things in our life, because these things cause us as believers to become restless. And when we become restless, we become impatient. And when we become impatient, what do we start to do? We start to find other avenues, right? We're looking for other ways to take away this restlessness in our life when we should be looking towards the Lord. So we must not strive, he said. So what does it mean? We must not strive means we must not attempt on our own to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish in our life. How many times have we done that as a believer? We went out, we know God has a purpose for it. Lord, I just don't understand it, but even if I don't, I'm going to attempt to do it on my own. How did that work out for you? Oh, we failed miserably. That's right. We failed miserably. So he said, we must not strive. He also says that we must be gentle. So when he talks about that, he's talking about being what? Kind, compassionate, loving, showing the same grace and mercy to others that God shows unto us. He said, we must learn to teach what?
Patience.
Somebody say that louder.
Patience.
That's right. We must learn to teach patience. Now, how do we teach something that we don't have? Can anybody in here say they're 100%? So how do we teach something that we don't have? We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us in our own life when we're doing these things that God wants us to do. Meaning, we got to quit running ahead of God. We got to try to stay with Him, even though sometimes, you know, the two worst things we do as Christians, and we probably always do it, we're probably hardly ever walking with God. We're either running ahead of Him or we're dragging behind. So He's just like you as mothers or grandparents or whoever. You're either saying, get up here with me, or you're saying, stop, you're going too far. Is anybody right with God? Or what do you hear the most? Get up here with me or stop, you're going too far. So this is patience. We're learning to walk with God. So when we begin to learn this, then he says, now we're going to learn to instruct. We're going to, and how do we instruct? And instruction, it's not telling other people what to do. I'll just give you that right now. So we learn to instruct others who are down and out. So everything that we go through in our life, God has deemed necessary for us to live in a closer relationship with Him. That's number one. The other thing, the reason that we're going through these things in our life, and this is part of this instructing others. So the things that you are going through, somebody else is going through. Okay? So the way you're going to instruct is by example. You're going to allow them to see that you went through this and overcome it with the power of God.
Amen.
You don't even have to say it. You just got to show it. You got to let people understand that we have to be able to assure people that God will save if we'll acknowledge Him. That's what it's all about. Acknowledging the Lord. If we will acknowledge Him, then through the truth of His Word, then God will take care of the other things that we need to do in our life. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, and this record is eternal life. And this life is in who? It's in His Son. He's the one. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, right? Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written to you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There should be no question about yours and mine eternal life. None. None whatsoever. And even though there's probably times that we do. Well, I wonder if God really is going to come back one of these days. So people all over the world question that. Then that we might believe upon the name of the Son of God. And He said, this is your confidence. That you're believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed upon Him in order to be saved. Now we're going to believe upon Him. We're going to trust in Him the rest of the days of our lives down here upon this earth. And we are assured this through the Word of God. And we're assured through the Word of God that when we talk to God, God is going to hear us. Amen? Because we're coming boldly to the throne of God. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct the things that we talk to God about, and we are assured that He is going to be listening to us. He is going to hear everything that we say. So we surrender ourselves completely and wholly unto God. And we know that we have the promise that He is listening, and He is listening so attentively. Did I say that right? Attentively. I'm not going to say it again. You guys got it the first time. That He is listening in such a manner that we know that the prayer, He had already answered it before we asked. Do we have that faith and trust? That God answered the prayer before we ever went to Him with our concern. So He allows us to understand this in our life. And we allow then, through this understanding, we allow God to remove, to continue to remove that weight of worldly fear from us that we have. Worldly fear brings doubt. And if we have doubt in our life, our relationship with God is not where it needs to be. We need to learn to understand the truth of our salvation. So let me give you two scriptures here real quick. And these are really, really familiar, but I'll tell you where they're at. First one's in Matthew, or you can find it in the Gospels. But I'm going to use the one in Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. And when I start reading them, you'll know. And they ask, Master, which is the greatest commandments in the law? And of course, they were referring to the law of Moses. We'd not yet had the New Testament, but in the law. So they're talking about the Word of God. And Jesus said unto him, what? Thou shalt
love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and soul,
and mind. Now, I want you to back up before we say the rest of that. If you back up, or go forward, I'm sorry. If you go forward into Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Mark adds this. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy what?
Spirit.
Strength or spirit. So the first three of these are mainly spiritual things. God, we're working on those things that are spiritual. All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And then when Mark says with all thy spirit or all thy strength, now we're not talking about just spiritual, because we need strength spiritually, but we're also talking about physically in our life. Everything that we do, we must be doing for God. So let's ask ourselves this question this morning then. Can we say these, what Christ said? Can we speak these words and be honest with them? Honest with ourselves? Can we say them truthfully? That we are, this is how that we're serving God? Because He said if we are, then we can move on to the second part of that, which says, thou shalt what?
Love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. So we're answering yes, but are we honest? Are we being honest with ourselves when we answer this? So we cannot perform the truth of God's Word if we're not following after the truth of God's Word. If we're not being obedient to the truth of God's Word. So we've got to follow after the truth of our salvation, or be obedient to the truth of God, and we've got to do it without worldly fear getting involved. And I can tell you that that's really hard to do. Because any time that we go to do something from the Lord, Satan's going to give us a reason, and it'll seem like a really good reason, why we can't do it. Why couldn't I come to church this morning? And I could list a number of excuses why. Why could I not go visit the neighbor? I could list a number of excuses why. See, worldly fear. That's worldly fear. We don't think it's worldly fear. We just think it's good reasoning. But it's not God's reasoning. So if it's not God's reasoning, then it's worldly fear. Because God's reasoning would be good reasoning. So back in the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Somebody's probably going to have to come show me where 1 John is again. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we what? We ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us what? Of His Spirit. When we were saved, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God came, it dwells within us now. And He says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is our testimony. That Christ is our Savior. This is what it's all about. So when we begin to understand this, then we begin to understand that God's love is beginning to perfect itself in us. Now we're on the way now. We're not perfect, but God's beginning to perfect itself in us. So when that starts to happen, then it's okay if I miss church once in a while. And it's okay that I don't study my Bible all the time. Is that right? Sure it's not. When that starts to happen, when we begin to see this, then we begin to work harder at it. We begin to pray more. We begin to study more. We begin to meditate more on the Word of God. We begin to ask God to show us more of what we need to do in our life to become obedient to Him, because we want this perfection to continue to make positive changes in our life. Once we get here, we don't want to go back here. We want those positive changes to continue in our life. And we're never too young or never too old to do it. I've heard too many people say, oh, I'm 70 years old, it's time for the young people to take over. If the young people take over, you know what's going to happen?
They'll do just fine.
And you know whose fault it is when it happens? It's our own for not teaching them right. Okay? So we don't quit. We don't give up. We continue doing those things that God wants us to do, because God wants to continue to change our life for the better. The older you think you're getting here upon this earth, you're still young in the eyes of God. Amen. And that's what God wants for us in our life. So let me leave you. I'm going to leave you with this one last thing. It's one last piece of understanding. It's not for me. Not my understanding. But in the book of James chapter 1, verse 22. Here's what it says, and this will be your next quiz when I come back. The first one today was what?
As for me in my house.
Okay, we will serve the Lord. All right. So your next one is going to be this. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you only hear, you're what?
Deceiving
your own self. If you want to learn to serve Christ without fear, you got to learn to step out of that worldly fear. And you can't say that God hasn't given me that ability yet, because He has. So we got to learn to step out of that worldly fear, that worldly emotion of fear, and we got to learn to continue stepping within the fullness of our faith in God. The only way we're going to do that is, and He wants us to do it every day in everything that we do, and the only way that we're going to do that is by keeping our relationship with God like this. Not letting anything hinder our relationship with God. So every time worldly fear creeps into your life, your relationship goes here. And then it goes here. And then it goes here. And then before long, you think, I never can get back to that. Because we're allowing those things to hinder our relationship with God. One thing we have to remember, and not everybody teaches and preaches this, but one thing that we have to remember, Satan cannot remove anything from you that God has given unto you. Amen? It cannot happen. So that means as believers, that's where we focus on. He can't take away your gifts. He can't take away your talents, your abilities, the grace and the mercy, the salvation that God gave. He cannot do that, but He will try His best to keep you from performing it. He'll try His best to hinder our relationship with God. And I can tell you the greatest way He's going to do it is through worldly fear. If He can get you to be afraid that something might or may, will or will not happen, then He just began to put a hindrance in our relationship with God. So we have to learn that everything that we see, we should see, and we don't do this all the time, but everything that we should see, we should see through our obedience to the Word of God. So that means in everything that we should see God's goodness. We should see God's grace. And I know this is hard to do because there's things that come about in our life. They're tragic things. They're worldly things that we just look at. They're devastating to our life. So how am I going to see God's goodness and God's greatness in that? Ask Him. Ask Him and He'll show it to you. Quit looking at it on your own, but allow God to show you why. Lord, why is this happening to me? And when you ask that question, you better be prepared for a truthful answer. Because God is going to give a truthful answer. So He's going to show you the goodness, the greatness, the grace, the mercy, everything that He has in store through that. But He only does that when we're living in our fullness with Him. We have to learn to live within the fullness of God. So our prayer should be that we always might be found serving God without worldly fear. And we can only do this when we live accordingly and in obedience to His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, that You've given to us. We're thankful, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge that You give us through Your Word. And we just pray that You would show us understanding, Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to conquer those things in our life that You've already conquered for us on the cross. Help us, Lord, to see our abilities. Help us, Lord, to see the gifts and the talents and the things that You have given unto us so that we might be able to live our life in Your joy and that Your joy might remain full within us, Heavenly Father, no matter what we feel is the situation or circumstance that is happening in our life. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we leave this place and go out into the world, Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be an example of Your salvation. We want others to see what Your saving grace is truly all about, Heavenly Father. Lord, we know the time is short, and it's our responsibility to show others what eternal life is truly all about. Once again, forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. What do we have for a song? 333. If you're here this morning and you have a need or a burden or you just want to come and pray, we would invite you to come and talk to the Lord.